Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. I got Jared Kinney, the cornerman, with me. And once again, it's been another great week for sports. It was the biggest interview of our lifetime happened. Coach K is gone.
He's dead.
Elon Musk decided Elon Musk decided that he wanted to be the major stakeholder of Twitter. WrestleMania was amazing. Tiger Woods, game time decision on the Masters. So there's quite a bit to cover. Where would you like to start?
We can start first off.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm good, man. There's two times a year that I look forward to. Now at the end of March Madness, the Final Four, Augusta, the Masters, and then NBA and NHL playoff start. And the other time of year is around September, October-ish, when baseball playoffs are, football starting up, college football starting up. So this is fucking, I love this time of year.
There you go.
Loving it.
So, Titletown, me and you both are fans of the Patriots. As far as Major League Baseball, I'm more of a Dodgers guy, but you're a Red Sox guy, right?
Yep.
Yeah. But I ain't never really had any beef with the Red Sox. I was always a big fan of Big Poppy and the players coming through the Red Sox. And that's kind of the way it was for me with, major league sports. I was more of a player follower than a team follower. But I think that's the difference between, coming from Alabama to where we practically worship college sports, and then New England area, it's all about the pro sports.
Right. Yeah. You said you're a Dodgers fan, not a Braves fan?
Braves would be my second favorite team. I like the Dodgers
okay.
best.
Okay. Do you know who Justin Turner is?
Oh, yeah. It's my twin.
Okay. Yeah. I was just about to say, if you're a Dodgers fan, then fucking Justin Turner looks exactly like you, or you look exactly like Justin Turner. It's fucking unreal.
So it just
clicked. I was like, Dodgers, Justin Turner.
My nephew, he was 9 years old. And so last MLB season, we were watching a Dodgers game together, and he was like double taking me and looking back at the TV, and he said, "I didn't know you played for the Dodgers. How are you here and there?" And I was, "That's not me, Bubba."
Yeah,
thank you.
On like Dodgers gear, sunglasses, and like a hat.
Oh yeah,
you could be one of those, those videos that you just. You sign autographs and shit.
All right.
We're going crazy.
So, that's what I need to do. I need to get the whole get up. Okay. Not only good for Halloween, but it could be good for this show. Okay. We got Justin Turner stepping in today to host Porch Talk.
Yeah, I love it. But I'm good to start with our sweet Prince Hezbollah. He did his thing. And
oh, yeah.
Caleb Presley did his thing, and he took over the internet this weekend. Very,
that was a very
sought after beautiful. Interview. Oh, it was a work of art. Someone put a quick verbal meme. There's a guy in the MoMA or the Louvre or something, and he's sitting there and he's on his phone. So, you could screen fucking, put whatever you want on his phone. It's someone put the Hezbollah interview on the phone, and it's like, I'm literally watching this in the Louvre right now, LOL. And 60,000 retweets or whatever. It's fucking, it's funny.
All those, I don't pump iron, I am iron. I love some of the excerpts that are coming out about the interview with, he was asking Hezbollah, you watch cartoons? He said, no, I'm an adult. And Caleb is, well, I like the movie Cars. He was like, well, that's probably because your brain ain't fully developed.
Yeah. I think the iron, the pump iron thing. I will give them credit. Like, I guarantee you, Caleb probably came up with that because he's just a genius. And he was like, hey, because they made a deal with Hezbollah. Like, they made all merch. So, obviously, with image and likeness and shit, he's probably going to get a cut. And he knew exactly what would sell. So, he was like, let's fucking say this and then say
this. Speaking of which, I've been looking at the Barstool merch, and I cannot make my mind up which hoodie I'm going to get. If I don't know if it's the one where, like, they're riding. And he's Hezbollah is just right in the back freaking out. Or if it is the I am iron one. I don't know. I might just have to get both.
Yeah, as soon as they dropped, I spent a little too much money on all the merch. I bought like each t-shirt. And like, I didn't buy a hoodie, a Hasbro hoodie, but I got the sticker and I got a poster. And I think whenever I do like set up like a little office in the spare bedroom, I'm going to put that fucking poster up.
That's a good idea. I might just get a poster and then just get a shirt or a hoodie of the other. But again, it's hard to decide which one. They're all golden.
Yeah, I think and it was a very good interview. Like the Glennie Balls lookalike as a translator. And I don't know if you listen to the Dave Portnoy show, but Caleb went on there and he was like, so I had to find a translator. And I told our hiring team, like, hey, find me a translator that looks like Glennie Balls. And they're like, we can't hire based on their looks. He's like, okay, well, give me a list of all these translators. And he went through to see like if there was any like kind of bigger guy. And he was like, yep, him.
But, you know, the whole thing just with some of the build up promo videos that they released is like that. The best one was like an 11-second clip where, you know, they start out on the beach and then like it's Bullo, they're swapping hands and he gets him in the face.
Yeah.
The ice cream when he's trying to get the ice cream.
Yeah. And I think that was like an underrated part too. Like Hasbulla thought the ice cream, like he just instantly made it for him when it's supposed to be for, you know, well, in this case, the translator or Glennie Balls. And he just decided it was for him. Like he just took the fucking ice cream. Like he is a menace. I think, the interview was very good. It was very well thought out. And I thought it would be a little more. I think that's like the only like downplay on it, because you had those clips like them and the sand buggies, or you know, the dune buggies. Like that clip is so fucking good. Like I need more. And he did tweet out like a behind the scenes thing today where him like whistling in the, I don't know if you've seen the retweet or not. But you know how they're all mic'd up and Hasbulla was like messing with it. And he like Yeah.
Said RIP to the sound guy.
Yeah. So I hope they do drop like a, you know, behind the scenes, like full episode. Cause they have to have so much footage. He went out there for like 5 days or something. So
yeah,
I hope they do something like that. And Caleb did say, you know, obviously the language barrier is a thing. So I can't really have my normal satire and my jokes. So, I mean, it was kind of more of a serious interview, but it was perfect.
Yeah. And for those interested, it's called Sunday Conversations
Sunday Conversation, yeah. But it's like an ice cream sundae. So it's like Sundae, Sunday Conversation.
And it is beautiful. It's one of my, I'm a huge fan of Barstool. And if anyone listening or watching, you know, they cover sports galore and they also very good pop culture. But Caleb is definitely one of my favorite people on the team.
Yeah. It's so crazy to see how far Barstool has come. Like, when I first heard of them in like middle school, and that's when I first like originally like downloaded like their first app on my fucking, I don't know, Android slide phone, and just reading the blogs and stuff, and like it was just all locker room, like, you know, kind of like locker room talk, or just, you know, people give their thoughts on this crazy shit that happened in sports, and then it developed kind of more into pop culture, internet videos and shit like that. Mm-hmm. But now they're branched out so far, so like they have like the TikTok generation, like they have that. They have, you know, like women's gossip, like chicks in the office, all the way like to golf foreplay, like they taken over. Barstool Outdoors. Daddy. Well, yeah, Caller Daddy's a fucking massive one. They have Barstool Outdoors and they cover like hunting, fishing, all that stuff. They're so like they branch out. And basically, if you have any kind of interest, there's a fucking, you know, either a podcast or some type of content that Barstool puts out.
And that's one thing that I'm hoping here is like, you know, just California dreaming is eventually take Porch Talk up to that level. Is, you know, I think we do a fairly good job. Our main thing is music here and we do sports, but just to be able to branch out and take things that way, or even if it's helping people get to where they want to go, I'd be satisfied with that. But I just LLC'd this bad boy earlier this year. And so, like, you know, it's slowly picking up steam, and like with people like Sid and everyone helping me out in the background, helping me out with the website. And we got a record coming out. We got the merchandise. We still have the Ukraine thing up. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're trying to make a dent. We just don't have quite that following. And like Barstool wasn't made overnight.
Definitely not. They started off as a fucking newspaper, and they even, It should be free now. But there's the Barstool documentary, like on how it all started and stuff like that. And it's fucking, it's tremendous. Like they have different, you know, famous athletes and famous people, like how they first heard of Barstool and whatnot. But they literally started as a fucking newspaper, and they put out their bets or like who they would take in bets in a newspaper. There was like three or four writers, but they would all write under like a bunch of different names to make it seem like there was more people working for them. Like, it's just, it's bananas.
Yeah. Well, dude, anything else to cover with Hashbula or Barstool before we move on?
I think
it's only appropriate to move on to North Carolina Barstool because they officially buried Coach K.
Yeah, he's dead. I think, well, for the Hashbula thing real quick, it was either Caleb or Barstool's official Instagram. They posted a clip of the interview in, what's his name? Abdu Robic or whatever is the other Hasbro is like arch nemesis.
Yeah,
he put a bunch of clown like emojis and stuff like that. So I think only a fair follow up to that interview would be to get him and just see what he has to say, because he speaks English. So I'm sure there wouldn't be too much of a language barrier. But
the thing about that though, he's not the prince.
No, he's not.
But it is only fair.
Yeah.
But as far as like notoriety, it was Hashbula first, right?
And Abdu.
And so it's almost like to me that Abdu is kind of rolling off of Hasbula's coattails.
Yeah. So I remember like that, I don't know who it was, a UFC fighter. He came, he gave him a hook, and then he ran away. That was like the first video that I think I remember ever seeing. And it was probably a year or two.
Was it DC?
No, this is like in Dagestan versus like someone. I don't think it was Khabib, but it was, someone big fucking Dagestani beard. And I thought everyone laughed because it's like, oh, a little kid just fucking, smoked this dude.
It turns out it's not a kid.
Yeah, it turns out it's not. And then that whole like beef with him and Abdu and that, the kick thrown around the world or the kick heard around the world in that press conference just really lit things on fire for Hasbula.
Yeah. So, Barstool, North Carolina did a great job of making up merchandise. I want to get one of those. I never was a fan of Coach K or the Duke program. It's probably going to be similar to the Nick Saban thing at the University of Alabama for a lot of people. And, I'm sure a lot of people would want Saban to go out and ruin his legacy, so to speak, such as that.
Yeah.
On the L.
Yeah, they that famous clip of Coach K like having a stroke on the court and like he just like he falls and he just rolls over, like it's literally a gif. It's so funny because it they put it into a t-shirt, and so it's like a big square and there's just four boxes, and it's just the evolution of him like going down and then laying sideways on the court in fetal position. It's so fucking funny. And just to have like your arch nemesis in North Carolina not only beat you in your last home game, but to beat you in the Final Four, the first time they've ever met in March Madness. People don't like it. You can't write it any better. If you're a North Carolina fan, you can't write it any better.
Oh yeah. That's infamy. This is one of the greatest seasons of their history of basketball. No doubt.
Yeah. Now North Carolina officially owns Duke. There's no doubt about it. And like, I don't like Coach K because he's so like, he's an egomaniac. It's unbelievable. Like even like after the game, he went up to one of the North Carolina players and he like gave him a weird belly pat. And
that was
like,
weird.
And he was like, "You're my player of the year." Like, dude, there's 50 cameras around. Like if you really want to like make a connection with someone, you're going to do it with like nobody around and, go in and shake. And then he gave him a weird left handshake. It was fucking, I don't know.
Yeah, the whole thing, like building up of like him announcing his retirement, going into March Madness, the whole thing, he really began to really make it about himself a whole lot. Instead of making it about the university or about the teams or previous teams or just the legacy. It was totally about him.
Yeah, it's a me show. Like as a coach, as big as he was, like announcing you're going to retire before the season, knowing everyone's going to get down and suck your dick every fucking game or like, every away game, basically. It's just a look at me. I don't like that. Especially from a coach when you're supposed to, put your players in the spotlight and like, rise your players up. I don't know. I don't like that.
Yeah, it was a weird way of, I mean, I'll remember that as his legacy forever. It's just the way that he went out and just with the way that North Carolina done him. And rock on. So, I mean, final game is tonight. Who do you like?
I like North Carolina a lot.
Me too.
I think they just, they're rolling. They have the, you know, the hype behind them. Kansas is very fucking good. And I mean, Kansas could probably like win easily, but I don't think that the hype that North Carolina has is going to, you know, slow down. And I think they're going to feed into that.
Yeah. And just as Alabama, they got put out immediately by Notre Dame, and then Auburn, they got put out by Miami. That's right. Yeah. And then Arkansas went a little bit further than I believe everyone else thought, because what LSU was, were they one and done? And like all the SEC teams went out real quick. None of them made it past 32, but, you know, hopped on that North Carolina bandwagon as the bracket started coming down, and like you kind of saw how the cards are going to fall, and especially now.
Yeah.
Definitely going to have to get some of that merchandise with them.
Oh, yeah.
Just go ahead and put him in his grave.
Yep. There was someone made a GIF or whatever. They photoshopped the Will Smith slap. Hey, buddy. And they put the, you know, the Ramsey's head, or, you know, the North Carolina mascot's head on Will Smith and Coach K's head on fucking Chris Rock. He comes up and slaps.
The slap heard around the world one more time.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't really bother with the Grammys. I was happy for Mississippi. We had Kingfish and also Cedric Burnside. They both brought home a Grammy of blues genres. Other than that, I really didn't care. Grammys, and even, you know, with the slap heard around the world, that'll be something that I kind of monitor from social media, and like every now and then you'll have something like the slap, or, but it's few and far between. But every now and then you'll have those, like you said on the last episode, it's one of those internet moments where like everyone on Twitter or everyone on social media is just, they're in this moment together. And it's not something that you can go back and watch the next day and it be the same.
Right.
But a lot of times you're waiting on nothing.
Yeah, I started watching it. I maybe watched it for maybe 10 minutes last night. And I think I even put out a tweet like before it even started or right when it started. And I was like, yeah, so we're all watching this together just because in case anything happens.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know that Trevor Noah was hosting. Like, nothing against him. Like, he makes a lot of good points on his show, like, you know, about stuff going on in the world and stuff like that. I don't think he's funny. So I don't know. I just couldn't sit there for 3 hours watching him.
That was, you know, when I was coming up out of high school and even when I was in college, I used to love that show with Jon Stewart.
Yeah, the Tonight Show, or not Tonight Show, the one on Comedy Central, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Trevor Noah took over the reins. Yeah. It never was a good fit, because I always thought that Jon Stewart was the best in the business when it came to a show like that. Even like your Stephen Colbert or, you know, Fallon or Seth Meyers, none of those guys really match up to back with Jon Stewart back in his prime, in my opinion. He was really good with his jokes, man.
Yeah. You know, I just, so instead of watching the Grammys, I threw on night two of WrestleMania, which was...
Did not disappoint.
No, not at all.
Yeah, so I was telling you before we got rolling, it's like when I was a kid, particularly my mother, she was fairly peculiar about what my brother and I watched on television. So wrestling was one of those things, like, you know, go to Walmart and I see like a NWO shirt. And she's like, no, you can't get that. And I was like, ah. You know, all my friends are wearing them. But even like the school I went to, you really couldn't wear like wrestling gear. It was kind of like that. It's almost like wearing a punk rock t-shirt at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
You really couldn't do it at my high school. But and then I'm starting to watch wrestling like over the past couple of years, and I'm really getting into it. And it's not from the side of wrestling is fake. Okay. Next time you and I get together, let me suplex you and you tell me how fake it is, right?
Right.
Like, yes, it's all rehearsed. It's all choreography.
But it's
like,
entertainment. People forget it's entertainment.
These are 250 plus pound giants who are able to just do all this. And I love it, like off the top rope or, you know, just super athletes, man.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, it is like watch, it's a male soap opera, but it is highly entertaining.
Yeah. I think the first night might have been better. Was that, you said it was free for everyone on Peacock? Okay.
Yeah, it was, you know, WrestleMania usually in the past it was $100, but
now yeah, the fucking pay per views.
Yeah, and that now it's on Peacock. You know, you just have to have a subscription to Peacock. What is that, $4.99 a month?
Yeah, something like that.
So yeah. But in the past, you know, Saturday night would be the free night. It's the prelims or whatever. It's kind of like the free fights for the UFC for the card gets going.
Okay. Yeah, I don't well, lately, I don't know, maybe the past 10 years, I'll try to start watching, like, the Royal Rumble, because, like, usually there's always an old wrestler that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
It gets a loud pop. And then I'll throw something on here and there, like, you know, Raw or SmackDown. It's not ever like I'm going to start watching at the beginning. Like, I'll just be sitting there on the TV and then fucking, oh, Raw's on. Okay, let me throw it on. And I'm usually scrolling on my phone and then I'll see someone. It's like, oh, he's still here. But yeah, and then I'll always watch WrestleMania. And I think the first night was better just because of Stone Cold's match. And I would be 100% honest, I cried like a little bitch at the end because he's one of my all-time favorites. Top five, top three easily. So that,
you know,
was
I like going back and watching the old Ric Flair or Macho Man or Hulk Hogan, or one of my favorite Twitter followers is the Iron Sheik.
Yeah, yeah. The Iron Sheik's a great Twitter follow.
So if you're unfamiliar with that, he pretty much tells you what you can do every day, all day.
I gotta look this up real quick. WWE documentaries on wrestlers. There was a very good Not Beyond the Mat. That's what it is. It's called Biography, WWE Legends. And like here they have Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin. The Stone Cold one was fucking great. And then, you know, they go like into their lives and stuff and they basically tell you their whole story. I think it aired last year or the year before. And it's just, it's awesome to watch all those old films and, or just, you know, old footage. But I grew up, well, to basically my start of watching WWE, I grew up watching it, just because like I have an older brother. So, you know, naturally you just watch what they watch. And same thing with my older cousins. Like my uncle had a black box. And so we'd always get all the paper. Then they were pay-per-views, so we'd always get them free, and we'd all go over there and watch, you know, all the pay-per-views back then. And went to a couple events with my dad. And I'll never forget when John Cena was like really big. He had like the spinner belt and shit. I had like a replica spinner belt, had his fucking T-shirts and shit. Nice. And we went, and he's from Massachusetts, and he was doing an autograph signing. So we went, I went with my stepmom. We went, waited for fucking so long in this long ass line. And we get to like these doors inside of, like, we were outside all the way in into like the whatever building, get inside. We're in this hallway and all of a sudden they're like, oh, he has to go something, 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 whatever, whatever. And we bought tickets. You had to buy tickets to get an autograph, which is whatever. And, all I wanted was a fucking, like literally a picture of him with the title signed. And he just left. So I was just,
That was the point. Nothing?
Yeah, and that was the point where I kind of was like, "Oh, fuck this," and but yeah, and I kind of kept watching, but just that whole Attitude Era, like that was like my upbringing into like the newer generation. It was just, it was so good, and I don't think, you know, no disrespect to the wrestlers now at all, but I don't think anything could top, you know, the '90s into the mid 2000s WWE era.
And I don't think I've had several wrestling fans on the show in the past, and that's what they always reflect back to is the '90s. It's that was the wrestling era. I will say, like, you do have some of the guys, and they were on WrestleMania, like AJ Styles. Mm-hmm. Is the typical thing that anyone will say about anyone who is a great wrestler. He could wrestle a broomstick and make it look good.
Yeah, met him in an airport one in Atlanta. He had a black hat.
He is a Georgia boy.
Yeah, and like, long straight hair, and I could tell by his and I like kind of gave him a little thing.
And a phenomenal one.
Yeah, and then my LT, we're flying for somewhere, and he's like, "Yo, that's AJ Styles." I was like, "What?" And I gave a closer look, and I went up to him. I was like, "AJ Styles," and he kind of like gave a little, you know, look up, and I was like, "Hey, man, don't want to bother you. Just say I appreciate your work." He was like, "Oh, thanks, man." You know, just shook his hand. I didn't want to make a scene.
Yeah,
but that was kind of cool. And he, you know, just put his head back down on his phone.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine like being famous and being in airports and like fan freakouts. That would be the absolute worst.
Yeah, fuck that.
And then like one freakout probably leads to like zombie horde of people, right?
A swarm. Yeah, and that's what Bert Kreischer like after the show. Like there was maybe five or six of us waiting for him. Excuse me. And someone kind of got loud, and he's like, "Keep it down, keep it down." I was like, "Shut the fuck up."
Yeah, don't ruin this for us.
Yeah, and then someone else like because we were at the back of the building. And then there's a street, and we're on that like corner. And down the street, there's a fucking bar, and there's so many people there. And someone else got loud, and I was like, "Shut up!" Before he fucking just goes away on us and ruin this whole fucking event, but like a little meet and greet,
a little after party. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think to go back to WWE and like WrestleMania, like Stone Cold's show performance was unreal, and Kevin Owens
Pat McAfee.
Yeah, Pat McAfee too.
That was great.
Stone Cold's match, like with Kevin Owens, like Kevin Owens did a phenomenal job selling it too. Like Stone Cold's mm-hmm. older, yeah, he can't do a lot of the same things, but you know, it takes two, especially in that realm of wrestling. Like someone,
well, Kevin Owens is great in the ring. To be a bigger guy like that, he's very athletic and he does a great sell. Like and he's been a heel type guy for as long as I can remember now.
Yeah,
and he's a great heel. Like AJ Styles has been a heel for like 2 years. Horrible heel. He's just a good guy. Like it's like he can't act good like a heel.
Yeah. Yeah, like just like those old, like even me and my buddy, like Perk Angle, we call him Perk Angle instead of Kurt Angle, because he used to do like fucking four or five Perk 30s and go into the ring and be all fucked up. Like even going back to those days, like Eddie Guerrero, stuff like that. And I remember when you said you just started watching a few years ago.
Yeah. So
there was a wrestler. Hold on. Stop. There's a wrestler, Chris Benoit, who's awesome. Just this animal. And a report came out. He passed away. Sad. Very sad. And they did a whole thing for him. Like all the athletes were on the stage and like in memory of Chris Benoit. Whatever. I remember crying because of it. And then like a day later, it was like, it was like a murder suicide. Like he killed his wife and he killed his kid. And then he committed suicide. It was roid rage. He just fucking snapped.
Whoa.
And, and it was like the WWE was like, Like we didn't know that it was all that. Like we wouldn't have fucking, did it in memory of Chris Benoit type shit. Yeah, that's it. There's a bunch of documentary or a few documentaries that are really good on it too.
I think
the Eddie Guerrero stuff.
I think the Hardy Brothers are insane.
Oh my god, yeah. I think they were like kind of like the first realm of like backyard wrestlers. Like they're from fucking North Carolina, a bunch couple country boys just doing shit in their yard and making videos, and they ended up making it. Like, and they're still fucking doing it, which is insane.
Yeah, and like, is it Chris that's got the neck problems and he's still rolling hard, or is it the other brother?
It's Matt and Jeff Hardy.
Yeah,
Jeff Hardy is like the skinny.
Well, Matt's the one that's got the neck injuries, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Matt. Yeah,
and
he's also the
crazier one.
Yeah. Jeff is like crazy. The high flyer. Yeah, they're both crazy, but like Jeff is like the high flyer. He's skinny. They both have long hair, but he has all the tattoos done up and shit. And like now his newer thing, like he paints eyeballs over his eyelids. So it's like kind of cool. Yes.
It's pretty insane.
Yeah. It's cool looking.
Oh, I think one of my favorite matches, like, I don't know if you got to catch it. You probably did. If you swapped it off the Grammys fairly fast, was Johnny Knox won the Jackass crew.
Oh yeah.
I'm blanking on who they fought.
I don't know. I don't know the guy's name either. I didn't recognize him.
It popped in my head earlier. But anyway, it was funny because, this ain't Johnny Knoxville's first time. And so they're digging out props. And then next thing you know, here comes party boy Chris Pontius. And, you know, he's got his breakaway Adidas pants on, and he's got the shirt. He's like, and I'm watching it with my buddy. He's like, this is family television. He's not going to rip his clothes off. And I was like, oh, yes, he is.
Yeah.
And then 5 seconds later, it's just.
Yep.
And it's party boy.
Wee Man stole the whole fucking show because he body slammed fucking whoever the guy's name is.
Yeah, sorry about blanking on that, but
you're good.
Something Amos or no, that's not it. I knew the guy's name starts with an S. I know that, but yeah, Wee Man really stole the show. So the opponent shoved Chris Pontius underneath the stage, and he's digging up underneath for props. And next thing you know, here comes Wee Man crawling out the bottom of the ring. And just opens up a can on the guy.
Yeah, I think Robbie Fox put a picture up on Twitter. So that's Hulk Hogan, you know, body slamming fucking Andre the Giant. And then it says upgrade. Then it's a picture of Wee Man. It's so good.
That's perfect.
It's so good. That's
perfect.
Yeah, and then, like, the rat trap and then the big, you know, the hand slap and just, like, the natural fucking jackass pranks. Or even, like, the table that the dude got thrown through with all the rat traps on it. Like that one
brought out a taser.
Yeah, the taser was good. Oh, my God, there's a – I forget the name, but when he brought out the taser, it reminded me. I don't know if it was in the WWE or WCW or what, but there was a steel cage match. This is way back – this is back in the day, like, late 90s, mid-90s maybe. And these two guys hated each other. I think one of them broke the other guy's neck or whatever, and then they had a legit broke his neck. Then they had a rematch after he like rehabbed and stuff. And it was like a Hell in the Cell or steel cage or whatever. And this dude brought a fucking taser with him. That's like not. It wasn't a prop. It was a real taser. He's like, I'm gonna hurt this motherfucker. And he got him up on top of this, you know, steel cage or Hell in a Cell, and he fucking tased him, and the dude fell off and, like, got really hurt. And he was like, yep, didn't like the guy. Fuck him. I forget who it was, but it's a fucking crazy story.
That's wild. So, yeah, boys and girls, sometimes wrestling isn't fake.
Yeah, no. That is New Jack. Here it is. That time New Jack almost killed a guy. That's what it was. He got his skull cracked. He didn't break his neck.
Oh man.
He cracked his skull and then he like brought a taser out and yeah.
You know, it was back like I think The Rock during that era was the ending of it, back when they would take the razor blades and just kind of, you know, just
slice their heads. Yeah, I think that was probably like late 90s, early 2000s maybe, or even the mid 2000s. Because you look at Triple H's head, even Ric Flair, they got so many of those, you know, scars on their forehead. I don't know what happened, but I think your camera just went out.
I had a call.
Oh, you did? Okay. But yeah, they all have like those, that scarring on their forehead just from, you know, the razor blade, whatever. And that brings me to that movie, The Wrestler, with, what's his name? Who's the guy that was in Iron Man 2? Mickey Rourke. Have you ever seen The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke?
Uh-huh.
Great fucking movie. And that just reminded me because he taped the razor blade in his wrist and then he took it off and cut himself. Hey, buddy.
Well, dude, anything else to do with WrestleMania? In my opinion, like I haven't been watching for that long. That was one of the best ones that I've seen in a while. I can't go back to the glory days, but, you know.
Yeah. I think, or even you mentioned it briefly, like Pat McAfee. Like Pat McAfee's match was unreal, which was the co-main event of last night's. And, he came out, Seven Nation Army chant, did his thing, and he's just a freak athlete. And I think one of the clips he even said he was like, I think I was born to do something like this. And I truly think he was too. Like he's very good with his words, like on the mic. And then to be that kind of athlete that can do that shit, like I think, you know, he did find his niche and like he was a phenomenal punter, made the fucking NFL. You know, got out, did his thing.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, so he was at the Indianapolis Colts. What did he play, 5 seasons before he retired?
I think, yeah, 6, 7 seasons maybe.
And so, and then he started the Pat McAfee Show, which is just an electric show. If anyone hasn't checked that out, just go to YouTube after you get done here and check him out, because he's so electric, and you could he's an entertainer. And on top of that, because of the Pat McAfee Show, he commentates for wrestling. And so, and then seeing him in the ring and just absolutely murder it was one of my favorite parts.
Yeah.
And all the gifs and all the memes that are coming out, like him getting Stone Cold stunned by Stone Cold, and
or even him like pouring the beer, like he was knocked out, but he was like pouring the beer on his mouth. Yeah. On the ground.
Did you see him like in him and his wife on the plane ride, and he's just wasted?
No, I didn't. That's funny.
He's like, we're flying out of Dallas, and I love you, girl. And he just.
That's funny. Yeah, he did a phenomenal job last night for his first, you know, in-ring WrestleMania event.
Yeah. I mean, I could definitely see him as, like, he's such a great color commentator for wrestling. I could see him color commentating for the UFC one day. I could even see him being like a Bruce Buffer style. I could see him being the guy in the ring.
Like
it
a hype
is
man.
Time. Yeah.
Yep.
He could be any of those, because like you said, not only is he just a top-notch athlete, he's a great entertainer.
Yeah. And like I mentioned before, like he got so over on the crowd, like that pop, it was unreal. And he just kept going the whole match. It was awesome to see.
He might have had one of the best pops of that night. Like Triple H, like bringing his boots out and retiring, he had a really good pop. I'm sure Stone Cold, I didn't see that one live, but I'm sure he had a great pop.
Yeah, yep.
But yeah, Pat McAfee had a great one. Oh, you want to move on to golf?
Yep.
All right, so we got a Tiger Woods, pretty cut and dry, said he's going to play it by ear.
Yeah, game time decision.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's been there, I think, since Saturday Friday of last Friday. You know, just walking the course. I think he showed up, played the back nine, see how it was, hitting the range, stuff like that. Seeing how the leg's holding up. Because for people who don't really follow it too much, Augusta National is very, very, very hilly. So, you know, a lot of ups and downs, slopes, like sideways, this and that. So it would probably be a lot for any normal person to walk, let alone someone who's coming off a fucking, you know, compound fracture injury at their leg.
Have you been to Augusta?
I haven't, no.
Okay.
I was, for people who don't know, I was stationed there almost 5 years, and they do a raffle. They have 100 tickets, you know, for Thursday. They have 100 tickets for Friday, same thing Saturday, Sunday. And all active duty could put their names in, you know, the raffle to try to get their name drawn. And I was deployed the first 2 years, and the last 2 years I was there, my name didn't get drawn. And it was, you only have to pay $100 for it. So like if you win, then you have to go pay $100 and you pick up your fucking, your badge and you can go. So a lot of people, nice. You know, got lucky, and I wasn't one of them, which sucked.
Well, hate to bring that up, bub.
No, you're good. I was talking to my wife about that earlier. I was like, fuck man, seeing all these videos, you know, the Georgia, the fucking commercials and shit, like it brings a tear to my eye, because it's like, fuck man, I was so close to going, and that's probably the best opportunity I fucking had to go, because tickets are so goddamn expensive. And she's like, no, don't worry about it, you know, later on we'll save up
one
some
day
more. Go. I was like, yeah, one day.
Yeah,
one day.
When I was living down in Mobile, it was a pretty good group of us that was in the golf, and that was on their bucket list, and they had been in the golf forever. I had probably only been in the golf for like 5 years, and you know, they were just, that's all they ever talked about was just, I don't care if I ever get to play it, I just want to go to Augusta.
Yeah, that's like such a, if anyone follows golf, they'll tell you that that's a bucket list thing of theirs, is to go to Augusta National. And just like I you know, you could see it from the street, like Magnolia Lane, like you can look down it, you can't take your phone out and take a picture, but you can look down it, and every time I would drive past, I would just fucking, you know, I would rubberneck hard.
Yeah, breaking your neck.
Yeah.
And so we got to fight. We got to fight for the girls. If you don't have anything else to add on that.
I personally, I think Tiger's going to play. there's a lot of talk. It's just, it's good for golf. I would be very surprised if he said, no, I'm not going to play. But I did notice, and a few other people have too, or have noticed as well, but he's a big Nike guy, you know, sponsored by Nike, has been for fucking ever. So, you know, Nike shoes or Nike cleats, golf cleats are, you know, his go-to. He had his own signature line, Tiger Woods shoes, for the longest fucking time. But this, during the practice rounds, even today, he's been wearing FootJoys. It's a little different. I don't know if it's like, you know, a contractual thing, or he went to Nike and said like, hey, I found these golf shoes that like, that helped me a lot, like in my leg and, you know, even his fucking back. So I don't know if he went to them and said, hey, like, look, in order for me to play, like, I'm wearing these, and kind of left it at that. And they're like, yep, no problem. Cause he's fucking Tiger Woods, you know? But I thought that was a little weird. And if it was more of a comfort thing or if it was a money thing, I don't know. It's just a little, that's stuff that's I like to watch.
That's kind of some inside baseball, you know, cause like paying attention to the guy's shoes. Right.
Yep.
But I mean, that really is telling for someone like Tiger Woods, because as long as he's been in the game, he's always got that Nike hat on and like Nike apparel.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's,
yeah. I'm good. I'm good on the Tiger thing. I just, I hope, I God, I fucking hope he plays and I hope he can, you know, competes. It's so good for golf. It's like, how can you not root for, you know, a comeback story after another comeback? So yeah, he's made mistakes in his life, but like that comeback is just, you, it's hard to root against him. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely, man. The same. And just comeback story. Like you said, although he's kind of, he's made some mistakes. Sure. He's wrecked a couple of cars and all this and that, driving under influence. But when he gets back on his game and he's playing again, you can't help but root for the guy.
Right.
I mean, we used to have the golf games named after him, you know.
No shit. The greatest golf games ever. Tiger Woods, like 02 or 06 or whatever. Mm-hmm. PS2. Hold on, I'm going to let these dogs out real quick. They're getting rowdy.
Go for it.
Want to go outside? Come on.
Hey, guys. While we are in a break, I wanted to tell y'all that I do have the festival this weekend at my house in Kennedy, Porch Fest 2022. So if you would like to come out to the festival, please do. It is a totally free event. I've got musicians such as Abe Partridge, Shake It Like a Caveman, Taylor Hollinsworth, Janet Simpson, Katie Mulvihill, King Kai and the Heretics, the Groove Johnson, that's my blues band, so, and more. So please come out. We're gonna have some comedians, and who knows who will be there. You know, 150 200 people is what I'm hoping for, and hopefully y'all will be one of them. So please come. That is this Friday and Saturday, April 8th and 9th. You are back. What's up, man?
Nothing. I have my leave put in for that, so it hasn't been approved yet, but it is in pending.
Speaking of which, while I'm thinking about it, I got to go ahead and put in for the Steve-O thing. That was May 8th.
I think so. I can check real quick. May 6th, Friday.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm super stoked about that.
Yeah, I can't wait. What time is that? 7 o'clock, May 6th, Sanger Theater in Mobile.
So what I plan to do is, like, I'll get off work from Starville at 5, and I'll just come straight down to see y'all, and then we'll just hang out all day that Friday.
And, okay.
Or I guess, I don't know, surely Sid's working from home still.
Yep.
And we'll hang out, and then I'll meet up and go out there. Got to get you your money, too.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, it's fine. You can wait on it. I know you're super busy this week and got shit going on, so.
True that.
I mean, we have a month to go, so I'm not worried about it.
Right on. Well, we gotta stick up for the girls here. And so absolutely. We have some history with the golf course of Augusta.
Mm-hmm.
And Anna Davis, she wanted to take collegiate students to town, and she did.
Oh yeah. So this weekend it was the Augusta Women's Amateur Championship. And you know, it doesn't get a lot of coverage just because it's, first of all, it's amateur. Just in general, amateur golf doesn't get a lot of coverage, but then, you know, to throw the women's part in there, you know, it's hardly going to get talked about. It sucks. It's unfortunate, whatever. But I did see this girl, Anna Davis. She's 16 years old. She won it, which, you know, is incredible for a 16-year-old to win a fucking amateur championship when you're going against college athletes. You're 16, you're a sophomore, a sophomore in high school, going up against people, you know, 6 years older than you. It's just, it's awesome. And there was a post, so she uses Titleist clubs. For people who don't really follow golf, Titleist is just, you know, a brand of, you know, apparel, shoes, stuff like that. And they also make great golf clubs. And probably the best golf balls, in my opinion. But anyway, they posted on Facebook. They said, I could try to pull it up right here. But they basically said, you know, congratulations to the winner of the Women's Amateur Championship. She uses, you know, a couple of our clubs. And instantly a thought in my mind, I was like, why the fuck wouldn't you mention who it is? Like, what? And, you know, that kind of got... didn't really trigger me, but it was kind of like, what the fuck? It says, a title at Augusta is just the beginning. Congrats to all who competed this weekend at the Augusta National Women's Amateur, including the champion who put her trust in a bag full of Titleist equipment, including Pro V1X, which is the golf ball.
That's actually the balls I like to use the most.
Yeah, same.
My golf bag is full of them. I use Titleist drive clubs.
Yeah, I got TaylorMade irons. And I got a Cobra driver and three wood, you know, TaylorMade driver. I'm talking about this Titleist. Titleist driver, Titleist wedges, and a Scotty Cameron putter, which is a Titleist brand. And that's it. And they posted a picture of just a generic fucking, you know, Titleist golf ball getting teed up. I was like, what the fuck? Why not post a picture? Why not post who it is? So, you know, I just said, you know, promoting your own brand and including the fact that, you know, she won the amateur, you know, tournament using your clubs, but not one mention of her name, any pictures. Yeah, that makes sense. And I said, you know, in quotations, yeah, her name is Anna Davis, by the way. And I also commented on the post, and basically someone said, like, you know, with amateur status in golf, they're so picky. They can't have any sponsorships. So if they seen this post, they could have said, like, oh, maybe that's like a sponsored deal. I was like, okay. Yeah. They might pull the amateur status. I was like, all right. Yeah. Girl in high school, you're like, fuck it, you don't want.
And maybe you can help me out here. It's like, just what does that amateur status mean? It's like, it's, you know, my knowledge of golf, it really quite literally goes to Happy Gilmore. Is like, do you have to be in the amateur league for some loan to go up to pro? Or you have to go pro
am? There's a different, no, there's like a, there's a few different ways. There's like web.com tour. So like, you know, it's a tour where you can win money, but it's like all on your own dime. You can get sponsorships, but like that's usually like the step before you go to the PGA. And, you know, some people stay there for a long time. Like one of the guys, he's a golfer. They call him Beef. I forget his real name. But, you know, big, hefty guy, big beard. He went from like the web.com tour to PGA, or like he made, you know, one of the tournaments and he ended up winning. He became a fan favorite so quick just because, you know, a big, you know, unathletic looking guy, massive beard, just a, you know, just a bro. Then he ended up getting like an Arby's deal. He got his own sandwich and shit. Like, that's one of the ways. I don't really know too much other than that, but I just know amateur status is like, you know, like me and you could be, or can get amateur status. We just have to play a lot of golf and contact someone in the not the PGA, but you know, get a handicap established, all that shit. It just seems like a lot of work, and
so it's a lot of work just to have that amateur status, and then to lose it is like you're back to practically nothing.
Yeah.
You can't play these tournaments anymore, and da 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 da.
Yep.
And so I think you covered it, but like just with that, not only, you know, with Titleist not saying her name, or like, you know. What, just to go back to that course, you may have covered it, but women weren't even allowed to be members there until 2012?
Yeah. Women weren't members there until 2012, and they just – Augusta, like, it's a beautiful place. It's so prestigious, and, like, they have, like, a – you know, if you dig deep into their history, you're going to find some dark shit. Not dark shit, but, like, you know, all the caddies were black, this and that, so, like, they could be, you know, shown as racist, this and that. And what have you, but it's just, women weren't allowed to be members just up until, 2012? That's 10 years ago. So, and that's well after the women's rights shit. So, And in the women's amateur, I thought it was played at Augusta National, but it's not. It's at a Champions Retreat, which is like up in Martinez. It's like 20 minutes away.
Right on. Yeah, I'm glad that you wanted to spotlight that. That's always good. Yeah, it's always inspiring to recap, women's sports, because, I mean, they're so beaten down right now.
Yeah, and you know, I always see like a lot of things, especially it's big with the WNBA and like women's soccer and shit. And like, oh, why don't you cover our sport? We don't get paid enough, this and that, da 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 da. You know, and then it's like, well, you don't really bring eyes. And you know, they could counter back, it was like, you know, or eyes or viewers or whatever, but they could counter back and it's like, well, you don't really promote us as much. The WNBA has gotten better with like promoting, same with like ESPN. But this just like counteracts all fucking, you know, promotion and shit and getting their names out there. And even I went through my Facebook again, and the people who posted it deleted it. They shared Tiger Woods' post, which is, you know, the Twitter. It was a tweet, and that's basically him saying, I think it was like, I'm game time decision or whatnot. Yeah. But he said at the end, he said, congratulations to Anna Davis, who won the Augusta Women's National or Women's Amateur. But one of the, I think it was like Golf Digest or something, which is like the biggest fucking golf magazine. They, you know, cropped his tweet and took out the Anna Davis part, like the congratulations part, and only put like, I will be heading up to Augusta. And it was like a picture of him, you know, swinging a golf club like on the course. I was like, why the fuck would you crop that out? It literally takes more effort to crop it out than to include his whole fucking tweet.
Yeah.
Like, why not? You're trying, like, the more eyes, the better, you know, and just the more people would read it and be like, oh, who's Anna Davis? And then they just look up Anna Davis, amateur champion. It's like, what the? Oh, she's 16? Holy shit, she played against fucking juniors and seniors in college? What the fuck? That's like, okay, you know, get her on your radar. And then if she does make the women's PGA, then it's like, holy shit, I remember when she was 16 years old. She won the fucking amateur championship. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Well, it's just aggravating.
We got it recorded here, dadgummit. So anyway, yeah. We got you back here.
It pissed me off.
Last thing that I have, unless you have anything else, it's not really anything to spend a whole lot of time on. It just literally happened today. Today is April 4th, 2022. Is Elon Musk is now the biggest shareholder in Twitter with a 9.2%. And so that has really had Twitter tweeting away today. And so a lot of people are curious. A lot of people are wanting to know what is going to happen with Twitter if he takes over.
It's going to be a fucking war zone, and there's going to be people saying the craziest fucking shit. It's going to be so good. That's just my opinion. It's going to be fucking glorious. People aren't going to delete in tweets. Trump's going to be back on saying crazy shit. It's just, you think it's a town hall now and people say, you know, wild stuff. Just, he's all about free speech, and it's just, it'll be so good.
Yeah, and that's where I was thinking, because, you know, a little bit before, this has been going on for about 2 weeks, is he put out two or three polls, and he would put out a poll. He was like, do you believe that Twitter is honoring their rights of services, and do you think they could do a better job with free speech? And then in the following comment, after he made the poll for people to vote on yes or no, he said, be careful with how you vote.
Wow.
And he did, I think he did three polls like that. And so next thing you know, we wake up Monday morning, and if I don't know if you check the stock market, but Twitter is going to stinking Pluto.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you know, I love Elon and just the shit he has to say. He's always posting fucking fire memes.
Oh my God.
And just the fact that he was like, you know, I think that ultimately made his decision. Like, hey, like, you know, I really want to buy a stake. And maybe if I do buy like a majority shareholder stake, then I can have the biggest voice over this company. I don't think they'll make him the CEO or anything. But if you're the major shareholder, like,
you do have some weight to throw around.
You have a lot of weight to throw around. So I think he just wanted people's feedback to ultimately, you know, make his decision, or, you know, to feed his decision or help him in the decision making process if he really wants to go through with it.
And he had my way in. I weighed in on it. So.
Yeah, I love it.
And I mean, and it was a huge poll. I want to say like millions of people interacted with it.
Oh, I bet.
I'll dig up that screenshot when we get off here and see if I can get it over there to you. But it was, you know, almost verbatim of what I told you. But Elon, he's one of those kind of guys that it's kind of a love hate thing for me. Like every now and then he does something really great. I'm like, yeah, Elon. But like, I really got on my nerves with the whole Dogecoin thing.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, he's just, I don't think he understands the magnitude of like the weight, like the words that he has to say and like how much fluctuation he can cause. And then he's like,
dude, you literally destroyed my crypto in one tweet.
Yeah. That's just a meme to him. Like he could throw $100,000 at Dogecoin and then just be like, go buy Doge. And then, you know, it's going to go fucking boom. And then he's going to sell it.
Like around whatever. That time was when he went on Saturday Night Live and everyone was thinking he goes on Saturday Night Live. They do a bit about Dogecoin. It's going to go to a dollar. And what did it do? It
fucking plummeted. Yeah. Yeah. He knew what he was doing. And I don't think they can't really get him with market manipulation. Cause first of all, it's a crypto. And like, second of all, like, it's not insider training. It's just him having literally the most influence on what happens. So it's just, you know, I don't think nothing will come about it.
Well, dude, I know the game has been on for 40 minutes now. I don't have anything else to add or subtract. Do you?
Nope. I just know this weekend we got, is it 274 UFC? Great fucking card. What's his name's fighting? Alexander Volkanovski versus the Korean Zombie. That's the main event. Aljamain Sterling versus Peter Yan. That's the co-main event. That's two title fights for the featherweight and bantamweight. And then the third fight on that card is Gilbert Burns versus Khamzat Chimaev. And Khamzat Chimaev has a lot of fucking hype built around him right now. And this is like his first real test of who he's going to fight. So that'll be very, very fun to watch.
And just for a little drama on social media, why is McGregor LOLing at Ngannou?
I don't know. Are you thinking Kamaru Usman or are you thinking Ngannou?
I want to say it was Ngannou.
Okay, I don't know why.
Because I was like, y'all not even same weight class, Bubba.
Yeah.
So it may have been Usman, but I was like, I don't even know if I'd pick that fight with your current shape. You haven't won in a long time.
Yeah.
And he's literally a crusher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I know he's been just – he'll always, like, have his two cents on what he wants to say, or if someone brings him up or says some shit about him, he's always going to clap back. Or even
– and he does have that clout, too.
Did we go over last week the Nate Diaz, the tweet he had versus Nate not versus Nate Diaz, but just the clapback or the roast.
Oh, let's go there again. I don't think so.
I think I said that to my dad. I gotta find it real quick. But Nate Diaz was talking some type of shit. I forget exactly what he was saying. I'm gonna search in my photos. But anyway, the comeback was like, I gotta find this. Connor Nate tweet. It is so fucking good, and it's a great clapback. If you're pondering whether to shut this off or not, you're gonna want to fucking wait because it's so good. Trust me. Where is this fucking tweet? But Nate said something, and then Connor clapped back and was like, "Yeah." And that's what it was. It was like Jared Leto playing someone, and then like Wolverine playing someone, like. As their career, not as their career, but like in a movie, like who they would want to play each other in a movie. And Nate commented and was like, oh, you would have, you know, so-and-so play you in a movie. And then Connor's like, you're going to have Walter White's son play you in the fucking movie. And it's like, and then he posted a picture of him in the crutches and shit.
I think you sent that to me. I remember that now.
Oh my God. It's so fucking funny. And it's like, just if you watch Breaking Bad, like you'll know it. You know how his Walter White's son like talks like that. Here it is. Wolverine could play my part. This is Nate Diaz talking. He says Wolverine could play my part, so we can see him beat Jared Leto's ass. That'd be fun, right? And then he tagged Connor. And then Connor said, "The kid that played Heisenberg's son in Breaking Bad is who will play you. Virtually identical." And fucking picture of him. It's so fucking funny. That was a mega clapback. Just it's true because like Nate Diaz talks like his brain is mush, and you know that kid is, you know, in the show he's slow. I don't know if he's slow in real life, but he just, you know, talks with like an impediment. So it was on point.
Yeah, it was on point.
That's an all-time tweet.
It's a framer. Oh man, you want to plug your socials? Anything about the Cornerman before you step out?
Trying to set up something with an interview for my first comeback show. I got everything else lined up, but I just kind of want to come back at least with something pretty good because we had John Anik on that one time. So I need something to, you know, at least come close to that. But you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jared Kenny. Both same. Very active on Twitter.
It's a great way to stay involved in not only the MMA, like anything pop culture or sport related. Jared's he's gonna have his finger on it.
Oh yeah. Did you want to mention the what's it called, the Twitter Spaces? If you wanted to do something like that for your community.
That community is so small right now. I could, like, the Porch Talk. Yeah, go follow Porch Talk. I think it's Porch Talk _101 on Twitter. We would like to start doing spaces, especially if you're lined up with this show and you like what we're doing. We could get on there midweek and we could kind of have a conversation. Y'all could chime in. What are things that we miss? What are things you agree or disagree with? What are some things that you would like for us to cover the next time we get together? Because we've been pretty good here lately. I think this is 6 weeks straight or something to that measure. Mm-hmm. And I've really enjoyed it. And I mean, the folks have too. They're tuning in. So, and we had a little bit of a clap back with the Leah Thomas and then a little clap back with the Will Smith remarks. But it is what it is. And I was good to get that feedback. It was like, you shouldn't call Will Smith a cuck. Well, he is.
Sorry, it's true.
So I'm doubling down on that, boys and girls. But Twitter Spaces, go follow Porch Talk 101. We might set that up to where, like, maybe on a Wednesday or Thursday evening, we get together and we just try to talk about what's been going on for the week as we get ready to take notes for this is a Monday night show. And when we get the YouTube up to 100 views, we'll figure out how to make this thing live so you can be right there with us on Monday nights.
Yeah, I'm open to feedback too. So if you want to shoot me a DM, I'll respond right away. If you want to talk shit, say I'm fucking fat, I don't give a shit. I'll reply. I'll talk. I'll shoot the shit.
Yeah, they for the most part they're kind. They was like, I just didn't really appreciate you calling Will Smith a cuck, and yeah. You know.
Like, why though? That's like,
I was like, it's not like you personally know the guy,
right?
You get in trouble in a dark alley. It sounds like Will Smith's not gonna be there, bub.
Right. It sounds like, you know, someone trying a cuck trying to defend a cuck. Like, I don't like that word because I like watching my wife or my husband get fucked. Like, that's just my opinion. That's my mouth. So if you want to shoot at me, you shoot at me. I don't give a fuck.
There we go. Or, you know, you're welcome to come on the show and make a defense of him, if you will. But I don't think there's a – it was literally the entanglement. She confessed it. And he's still with her. So that's all I have.
Yep.
All right, dude. Well, take care. Until next time, peace out.
Later, homie.
1, 2. I got a hard head and Saving money now at Menards. Mastercraft has been making great doors inside and out for over 50 years. Choose from the best in-stock selection of doors ready to take home today. Or design your door your way in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on Mastercraft doors at Menards, America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2024 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Save big.